You're welcome back to the programme. I'm looking at an article in the Irish Times from April of this year, which reads, "The family of a 21-year-old apprentice electrician killed when a man drove a car into him at 120 kilometres an hour on the road outside a nightclub at the Red Cow up in Dublin has called for the maximum sentence for dangerous driving causing death to be increased from 10 years to at least the 14-year limit applicable in Northern Ireland. Cameron Cooper, who was 23, of Ballineety Road, Ballyfermot, Dublin 10, was jailed for causing the death of Dylan Killily Maher on November 12th, 2023. Speaking outside the Dublin Circuit Criminal Courts of Justice in March, his mother, Catherine Killily, said no family should feel their loved one's life had been trivialised by a lenient sentence. And Catherine joins me on the line. Good morning to you, Catherine, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. And before we talk more about what you're calling for and what you're advocating for, can you tell us more about your son Dylan?
Dylan was a 21-year-old young lad. You know, he was a great young lad. You know, with his whole life ahead of him. You know, with great dreams and great goals. And himself and his father had dreams and goals for him too. And so he didn't get to achieve those dreams and goals because he was killed by a dangerous driver, Cameron Cooper, and the Red Cow, outside the Red Cow, as he was lighting from the car that he was in, travelling in.
What do you remember of that night, Catherine?
It was absolutely horrific. I was in bed. I got a phone call around 12:40 a.m. and to say, my stepson rang me and he said, you know, Catherine, he was absolutely like bawling on the phone. He was bawling, crying. He's like, Dylan is dead. Roar and Dylan is dead. And I was like, hang on a minute there. I said, say that again. Calm down. I said, and say that again. And he said, Dylan is dead. He's after being in a car crash. And I said, no, you've got it wrong. I said, you've got that wrong. I said, you know, I hung the phone up. I rang Dylan's dad and I said, are you after hearing this? And he said, Catherine, I did. He said, but I'm after hearing he's been sent to hospital. He was in a crash and he's on his way to hospital. You know, there's a lot of confusion that went on that night. A lot of phone calls. I rang the emergency services and, you know, they had no information for me and I just headed towards the Red Cow and I've never been to the Red Cow before in my life and we got there and I seen flashing lights and I just said stop the car and I jumped out of the car myself and ran across the road and the Lewis line and just jumped the barriers and just ran towards the first guards I could see. I ran up that road and I said, my son, I'm after getting information. My son is after being killed. Please tell me. I said, it's not true. Please tell me. He's on his way to hospital. So he said, the guard said, hang on for a minute. He said, there'll be somebody to speak to you. And I pleaded and I begged him. I said, please, I beg you. He said, he's only 21 years of age. He's a good lad. You know, he's a good, please tell me it's not true. You know, I pleaded and begged that guard into his face, you know, and I knew by the look in his eyes that, you know, he had someone there, you know, there was a tent there and, you know, there was obviously I knew there was a body there. So he said to be guard to speak to you in a few minutes. So guard came over and she asked details about my son and I gave her the details, his age and, you know, his height, his build and, you know, so she said, we have got someone here at that description and he is after being killed. And I felt to my knees, I just felt, you know, I was just in disbelief. And I was like, you know, part was like, no, it's not him. It's someone else. It's someone else, you know, it's not him. So she said, just give me a few minutes. And, you know, she had a chat with myself and Dylan's dad. And, you know, we just kept looking at each other and saying, no, this can't be happening. This doesn't happen to, you know, it doesn't happen to you. This happens to other people, you know. So, we got to see, we were brought up to the tent, the white tent, and, you know, and the way I was just, you know, holding Dylan's dad, and I was like, please let it not be true, please let it not be true, you know, I was just pleading, and I was begging to God, and I was begging to my father, and praying to him, you know, you can't take, this can't be my son, and we got to the tent, and we looked past the tent, and it was still in line on the ground, you know, and I was like, no, I just kept saying no, you know. And the more I looked and I looked, and it was Dylan, you know. And she said, "Is that your son, Dylan?" And I said, "It is." And I said, "You know, can I touch his face? I said, can I kiss him? Can I hold his hand?" And the guard looked at the forensics, and, you know, forensics was hearing him speaking, and they shook their head and said no. And I, you know, I just, as I said, I took it as it was, and, you know, we were just in total shock, you know, really total shock.
And Dylan was a pedestrian, Catherine, is that right?
Dylan was. He was actually getting a lift off his friend to the Buzz nightclub, and he was getting out of the car to take his jacket out of the boot of the car, and Cameron Cooper was speeding over between 121 and 125 kilometres per hour. He was speeding. That was said in court what speed he was doing. And he smacked straight into his son, crushed him to death. And that's what I got my son back in a wooden box, broken up, you know, and I didn't find out his son's injuries until the day of court, you know, which was horrendous in an open court, listening to all this for everybody to hear. And it was horrendous, you know, horrendous it was.
But unfortunately, Catherine, and we hear this every time we speak to family members of those who have died in road accidents, those who have been knocked down, there's two things. First of all, I'd imagine as a family, the shock that you go through because of how instant it is, you know, Dylan was going out that night. You expect Dylan to come home, and then you get a phone call to say Dylan's not coming home. And within an instant, your life changes. But also, the detail that you're mentioning there, and I think it's so important, and I know it's tough for you to go through, but it's so important not to sugarcoat it, that this is the reality. When people get into cars and they speed and they knock people down, the injuries and the devastation that that causes to families is so important to really get that message home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just selfishness. That's what it is. Just being selfish, careless, caring about nobody, not thinking of who they can kill. You know, Cameron Cooper had passengers in his car. He wasn't the only one in that car. So he had other passengers, and he didn't care for their lives either, or anyone else on the road, or any pedestrians on the road, like my son. And that was the result. My son took that full impact. That his death, he saved his life and the passengers of that car's life. My son took the full impact of that. He was the only one that was killed in that crash. My son took the full impact of it, and that was wrong. My son was a great lad, whole future ahead of him, and just like that, taken in an instant. My son walked out my front door, and he never, ever came back through it. Never. And so angry, and you're just full of emotion and full of hate. And I was never a hateful person, never, never. And I'm just full of hate, hate at the minute, just hate. And every other emotion that goes with grief.
Can I ask you, Catherine, this happened back in 2023, but I've saw videos and photographs of you speaking on the courts of Dublin Circuit Criminal Courts of Justice this year. Earlier in 2025, what happens in the intervening period there when you know you have this court case to go through, but at the same time you're trying to come to terms with losing your son?
I know, it's horrible. Like I've been back in court, I'd say at least five times within the 15 months before the sentencing, at least five times. And you get this court date every time. So you have this date in your head, right? You're going to court and you have to see this man that killed your son. And you have this date that's ahead of you, and the anxiety and the nausea of having to go to court and having to listen and having to look at him that killed your son. It's just horrible. It's horrible, and it's not right. It's not right at all.
Cameron Cooper was sentenced to 5 years and 3 months in prison, with the last 12 months suspended. And you're going up to the Dáil today, as well as other members from the Park Road Safety Group, to call for stricter enforcement and tougher penalties to put an end to these tragedies on our roads.
Yes, we are. Because the death by dangerous driving is the maximum is 10 years, but nobody ever gets 10 years. So we're trying to raise 10 years to 14 years in line with Northern Ireland. So we'll give the judges an opportunity to give a higher sentence, you know, that nobody ever gets any more than 4 years. 4 or 5 years. Nobody's ever got it for death by dangerous driving. Nobody's ever got it. And Cameron Cooper, he was also an unaccompanied learner driver as well in that car. So he was driving, he was a learner driver, speeding. He was out for 6 charges altogether. He rang the emergency services to report his car stolen instead of ringing emergency services to report he was after killing someone in an ambulance to aid my son. He didn't do that. He was up for 6 charges altogether. And this is what he comes out with, 4 years, 3 months. Well, he's not going to do 4 years, 3 months because in prison, for every 12 months you're sentenced, you only do 9 months. So he'd be out within 3 years. So that's all my son's life is worth, is 3 years. I'm sorry, but no. No way. That is just wrong. My son's life is worth a hell of a lot more than that, let me tell you. A hell of a lot more than that.
I can already see the messages coming in from listeners talking about deterrence. And again, it's something that comes up every time we cover road safety. And we cover it quite regularly here because it's so important. And listeners would say, well, what you're saying there about the jail terms are not long enough, but the penalty points, sometimes for speeding, for mobile phone use, all of that, not enough of a deterrent to stop people from doing it.
There needs to be stricter laws on the learner drivers, stricter laws as well, and unaccompanied learners. You know, they're driving now, they're not accompanied by a full licensed driver. You know, they don't care because all you get is a slap on the wrist. So it's worth a slap on the wrist to go out on unaccompanied learner without only come if a full driver with you, full license driver with you. You know, they're taking the risk, they're taking the chance, and they're getting away with it. They can't be getting the penalty points. Do you know what I mean? You just can't be.
Especially with the rise that we're seeing in fatalities on the road, the number of car crashes year after year. We thought we were doing well here in this country, but unfortunately, that tide is turning for the worse.
It's every day. Like, you go onto social media, you read the papers, you listen to the radio, you listen to the news. It's every day a road death. Every day. Every day it is. And it's just getting out of hand. And something needs to give. Somebody needs to do something. You know, it's the devastation that's left behind. Oh, and you know, it's like the grief of family. Like, I will never be the same again. I will never be the same mother. I'll never be the same daughter. I'll never be the same sister, the same friend. I'm not the same person, you know. My children had to see me, you know, in ways that where they shouldn't have had to see me and hear me, you know. It's wrong. It's just so odd. You just have no consideration for other people, other drivers and pedestrians on the road. No consideration whatsoever because they're only getting a slap on the wrist. So it's worth the slap on the wrist that they're getting, you know. So the whole system just needs to change.
How have the last year and a half, 2 years been, Catherine, and I mean that respectfully. I know you've gone through the courts and everything, but I'm looking at a photograph here of Dylan and he's on a t-shirt that says Happy Birthday Dylan Forever 21. Yeah. How have you managed all of the advocacy aside and the calling for longer convictions, but how have you actually coped with this?
I haven't really coped, to be honest with you. Now, it's just been a roller coaster of emotions. Like my son, 21 years of age, and I got the t-shirt done. We actually done the Stairway to Heaven walk in Fermanagh, and 75 of family and friends done that, and that's the t-shirts that we got for that walk. And we raised money for the park new edition booklet. And it's been horrendous, you know. It's actually days where I don't even know how I've got out of bed. There's days where I don't get out of bed, you know. I just go into a dark mode and I stay in bed. I pull my curtains. My room is in darkness. No telly on, no radio on. I won't answer any phone calls. I won't answer any text messages. I just need to be left alone. And that's wrong. Like, you know, it's wrong with so many. It's wrong for family members. It's wrong for my children. And as I said, it's like I'm the ghost. I'm going around, you know, I lose memory. My memory is gone. I'm sitting, I'll be in work and people, you know, be calling me and asking me this and asking me that. And my mind just goes blank. And, you know, my son is constantly on my mind. He never leaves my mind. People are talking to me and I'm not fully listening to them. I'm just nodding my head and, you know, going, yeah. I'm not fully listening to people. My son is just constantly in my head. He's never going to leave my mind. Never. you know, and it's just, that's just the impact that it has, you know. I look at his photograph and it just brings me to my knees, you know. And you know, we had great memories with Dylan, you know, but we didn't have enough of them memories. We had a lot more, there was a lot more memories, you know. Your mother should never, mother and father should never have to bury your child. You know, that's just not the circle of life, you know what I mean? That's just not the way. That's not the way. You don't bury your children, you know. You're just weird. You don't. It's just, it's wrong. It's just so wrong.
Catherine, all I can say is thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I know it's not easy to come on and do that, but it does highlight that important message that you're calling for today outside the Dáil to increase the maximum sentence for dangerous driving causing death from 10 years to at least the 14-year limit applicable in Northern Ireland. Do you think you'll be listened to? Do you hope you are?
I hope I am listened to. I really do. I hope I am. I hope, you know, these ministers can, you know, you can make a change and then go down in history for this, you know, for making this change. And just another thing I'd like to highlight as well about the being banned from driving. Cameron Cooper was banned for 9 years. That 9 years starts from the day he enters prison. So he'll only have a 5-year ban when he comes out. You know, that is ridiculous. Starting a driving ban from the day you go into prison. How can you drive when you go into prison? You know, that ban should start the day they're released from prison, not the day they start their prison sentence, the day they're released from prison. You know, that's just wrong. That is so wrong as well. I'd be highlighting that as well. You know, that the driving ban starts on release of prison, not on start of prison.
Catherine Killaly, thanks for your time and regards to you and all the family.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Lots more to come after the break.